This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Well, hello. How are you all doing? This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are now on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all had a great Easter. Mine was, it was good. It wasn't bad. I hope you all had a chance to spend time with friends and family. I hope everybody is over their chocolate buzz, so to speak. And let's get into the show. This week, I have a friend as well as up-and-coming singer, songwriter, producer from Santa Clarita, California. She lives in Southern California now, and her name is Liza Donahue. If you want to look her up while we are talking, you spell her name L-I-Z-A. D-O-N-I-H-U-E, Liza Donahue. How are you doing, Ms. Donahue? And thank you very kindly for joining me this evening.
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
That's good. I can hear the smile in your voice. So
I'm smiling.
I can tell you're pretty excited. So
I am.
Again, thank you very kindly for being here. I don't know if you've listened to the show previous, but I don't really do a lot of setup. I just like getting into the conversation and let it going organically from there.
Sounds good to me.
All righty. So my first question for you is, because you are a singer, at what age did you first start singing?
Well, it was a very, very long time ago, so I probably can't put an age on it. I mean, I've been singing all my life. My family was extremely musical growing up, so I've always been around it. And so I've just been really into music since I was tiny, 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 before I could even speak. I was
surrounded by it. Now, you say that your family is into music, which family members do you have that are into music, and how are they into music? Do you have some musicians? Does everybody sing? How does that work?
So my dad used to tour Washington and I believe Oregon, and he was in a crazy rock band, Live the Dream, and he writes some crazy songs. So he's very, very, very talented. My mom helps a lot with my taste in music. I'm sure she sings, you know, in the background, but she doesn't let us hear her. We like a lot of the same music. And my brothers, Riker and Harrison. Riker is extremely into music. That's all he does day in and day out, pretty much 24/7. And he is producing all of his own stuff. He does every single instrument. He does crazy guitar. I mean, like, I don't understand how he does it, but his guitar skills are insane.
And, does he play bass guitar or regular guitar?
Regular electric guitar, yeah, and acoustic. Okay. And piano, he sings, he songwrites, he produces, he does everything day in and day out. Like, we have a studio in our garage, so he's pretty much claimed it. My studio's upstairs, but he's pretty much claimed the whole garage. He's made that his own. So
you would say you live in a modern day Partridge Family?
Yes, I do. And the Donahues are quite interesting. Interesting.
Awesome. Is there going to be any music coming out from the Donahue family? Will you all get together and collaborate on anything?
Yeah, maybe so. You know, we've already collaborated a little bit. And, you know, I forgot to mention my other brother, Harrison. He's also very into music, good at drums and everything. You know, we all help each other and we learn things from each other all the time. And you know, my dad has he has a song, and my brother Riker did a guitar solo on it, and I did backup vocals on it. So we all kind of collaborated on that one, and yeah, we would love to collaborate even more in the future. And you know, I've done some small things for my brother too, some backup vocals too, and just for fun. And so yeah, we help each other all the time, and you never know, you know, we may come out with a song with all of us, including Harrison the drummer. Yeah. But yeah, you never know.
Does it pay well to work for family?
Well, money-wise, no. But yes, it does. It does. I mean, it really does bring us closer. You know, music brings strangers closer. And it's really something that we can all connect on, which is amazing. You know, most families don't get that experience where everybody is just, like, binded. Mm-hmm. Binded with music. Binded with one thing. So I love that.
Do you play any instruments, Liza?
I do. I play piano, and you know, obviously I sing and I songwrite. And in band in eighth grade, I played the trumpet, and let me tell you, I was good. I was good at trumpet. I'm not gonna sit here and say, hey, you know.
I'm loving your humbleness.
Yes. But you know, I loved it. I really, really did. But I had a lot going on in high school, so I didn't join band in high school, but those were the good years, you know.
Yeah. Did you have any type of formal training?
Yes, I did, actually. With piano, I learned when I was about 12 or 13. I had piano lessons for about 2 years, and then after that I just taught myself. So, you know, he taught me basics, and he taught me good things to know, and it really, really did help a lot. It really opened my eyes to what I could do. So, but you know, I've been self-taught with my voice up until about 8 or 9 months ago. I started taking voice lessons to really take myself beyond what I've been doing. You know, Bruno Mars, he never had voice lessons ever. I'm sure recently he's had vocal coaches, but like I was following those footsteps. I'm like, no, I don't need vocal. I don't need a vocal teacher. I'm like, I'm gonna be like Bruno Mars because he's my favorite. But no, honestly, like you need a vocal. You need a vocal coach for little things. So.
And because you had vocal lessons so late in your, I'm gonna say so late in your early career. Mm-hmm. I hope you understand what I mean by that.
Yeah.
But since you had vocal lessons, were you already into your own specific process? Was it hard to go through these lessons, or did you just flow right into it and it was easy like Sunday morning?
Well, it was definitely a change, but you know, going without vocal lessons for such a long time, it really showed me my limits and, you know, just what I can and can't feel like I can't do. And so when I came into my lessons, you know, I had already found my voice and I was comfortable with it. But when I came into voice lessons, it definitely opened up my eyes. And also, I was so eager. Like, I was really excited. So I've definitely been progressing like crazy in vocal lessons just because, you know, I've gone all that time without them. So I'm just so blessed that I actually get this opportunity to, you know, to be able to have them. Because I know some people, you know, don't get that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so I've really been like squeezing her dry. Like I have been asking her so many questions, even when she, you know, I'm texting her and I'm like, so, so mm-hmm. I mean, man, it's opened my eyes a ton.
And how did you, again, because you are, okay, so when I say seasoned, I mean, you've been singing for a while. So how did you decide on, okay, this is the person I'm going to go with for vocal lessons? How did you realize, or how did you decide that this person has enough expertise to actually be my vocal coach?
Well, on her website, she had 5 stars. So
wow, okay. Okay.
But you know what? Like I read, I mean, that's the plain truth. But I did read through a ton of local ones, and I wasn't feeling it, you know. The comments, I was looking through those. I wanted someone that was very experienced, and she was extremely experienced. And you know, I have to drive about 45 to 50 minutes each way to see her, but it's so worth it. I'd rather have her than somebody local I can just like drive 5 minutes to, because she's so knowledgeable in music and all aspects of it, and she's just perfect for me. Like, I think I did get kind of lucky. I did do my research, but you just never know until you actually, you know, you go in for a lesson with them, and I loved her immediately from day one.
Okay. So what was that first meeting like? Like, what happened the first day? Do you just sing for her? Do you kind of interview her and ask her questions and you sing for her? How does that process work? How did that process work for you?
So she did introduce herself. She told me her background, and she told me she really established that she's not going to change my voice. She's going to enhance what I already have, and she's going to stretch me to what I want to do. Like, she's never going to force me to do anything else. I don't want to do, like, take my voice into opera or rock or things like that. But she just shows me these options that are here that I don't realize, you know, I didn't realize were there. For example, like, putting it in your nose, singing, like, singing through different, you know, in different ways. And, you know, she definitely made sure I was aware of that, and I really like that. And she told me, do you have a song that you want to work on? And I was like, yeah, I think I do. I've been working on this Christina Aguilera song.
Okay.
And you know, I was singing it for her, and you know, I didn't really think about how I could actually like change the song a little bit to fit my voice specifically. That song was way too high for me. And she was like,
which song was it?
The song was, what was it? It was, oh man, let me think real quick. It was, I had just learned it and I didn't even know it existed, but, okay. But it was, hold on. I got this. I got this. Hurt.
That's what okay.
It was. Yeah.
Okay.
Hurt. I've okay. never heard it before, and I heard it, and I'm like, dang, I want to learn that one. And I mean, it was kind of brutal, though. You know, singing in front of her, I was a little bit nervous. I don't typically get nervous singing in front of people because I love it so much.
Yes.
But definitely in front of her, I was a bit nervous. And
is that just a humbling experience for you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so.
Okay. And you're also a songwriter. So what motivates you, Liza, to write a song?
Well, if you break my heart, then I'm going to write a song about you, boy.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, honestly, that's like one of, it's so funny because, you know, you always think of Taylor Swift, but it's so true. I mean, yeah. When you're, like, broken, even if it's not about a boy, or when you're, like, really excited about something, when your emotions are going crazy, like, that's the best time to write, for me, at least. And I know a lot of other songwriters have said that, but, yeah. I mean, what inspires me the most in general, though, is I want to write music that will relate to people that don't know how to express how they're feeling. So people that are going through something, they don't know what to do. They don't know what kind of a situation they're in. Maybe they're in an abusive relationship with a guy, or like even physically or mentally. I mean, emotionally, you know, they don't know. Maybe they don't know what to do about it. And, you know, I write these songs because I want them to be able to relate to something, because some people aren't even able to communicate, really. They're just so antisocial, or they're just so in a bubble. And music is the only thing that can speak to them sometimes. And I just really, really want to write music, which I have been, and I'm so proud of myself for doing that, because I know I've been in rough spots and music has really taken me out of that. So that's something that's literally the number one reason why I love writing my own stuff, because I really want to impact lives. And I also love being a role model to others too, you know.
Okay. I say to people, I say there are four people or entities that you should never piss off. The IRS.
Yep.
a songwriter. Yeah. A regular writer. And a talk show host. And
Jay Lewis specifically. Don't mess with him.
Somebody is going to find that out next week, but we'll talk about that later. Like I said, we'll talk about that later.
I'm definitely tuning in next week. I want to hear all this.
Yes, ma'am. Do you remember the first song, Liza, you wrote?
You know, I've written so much, so many little things here and there, but I do remember my first full song. It's like the most cheesy little Cinderella song in the whole entire world. Like, I'm over here trying to make it sound like not cheesy. It's the hardest thing to ever do. but it's called With You. And honestly, I thought it was really good, and it is. It's just the lyrics are quite cheesy. Yeah. It was my first relationship ever. I was so in love, and
yeah,
you know how that is. So,
yes, ma'am.
The chorus is, baby, when I'm with you, my mind is fixed on what you do. Your heart's sweet and it's bright. Your smile shines like a light. I become hypnotized. Like, it's just really the bridge. Let's not even get to the bridge.
That dude definitely had an effect on you.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He also had another effect on me. But it's okay. We won't go there. I mean.
You got a song about it? Go ahead and write it. Do you write the music? Do you write the music as well, Liza? Or do you have someone else that actually writes? When you're writing a song, do you just write the lyrics or do you write the music? And if you do write the music, which one comes first, the music writing or the lyric writing?
Well, I do always write the music to my lyrics for sure. And It totally depends on what I'm feeling that day, what comes to me first. Like, I'll be laying in bed and I'll get a tune and I'll put that on my voice memos on my phone, or I'll get lyrics out of nowhere and I'll put that on my voice memos or in my notes. Like, my notes are filled with song ideas as well as my notebook. And so it just depends, but I think a lot of times I will start with chord progressions on piano and just kind of mess around with that. And I'll already have an idea for a song in my head and I'll already know what I want to write about, but I'll just be sitting there trying to find it. And I'll sing, typically I will just sing whatever comes to my mind, even if it doesn't rhyme or sound good. I'll just pretty much like spit it all out. Lay it all out and just see what flows and see what doesn't. I'll take crazy notes.
Okay.
So many notes.
Do you ever has a melody or have lyrics ever come to you in a dream?
I've had a dream about a song, and it was crazy. It was like so specific. The lyrics were so specific, like word for word, and it was like a really good song. And but you know what? I woke up and I didn't remember it at all, and I was trying to remember it. I was so bummed, but I was like, brain, if you can think like that while I'm sleeping, why can't you do that when I'm awake?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, help me out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and written? Wow. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and written down lyrics or written down a melody and then gone back to sleep?
Yes. I have tons of those on my notes on my phone. It's crazy. I mean, like, it's just so bizarre how it works. Like, just the randomest times things will come to me, and mostly it's so weird. I mean, I feel like this is how it is for a lot of people, but at night I get extremely creative. Like, that's my that's my good time for writing and doing everything. But I'll be laying in bed not able to sleep, and suddenly I'm thinking about my feelings, I'm thinking about other things, and I will just come up with a really good melody, or I'll come up with really good lyrics, and I'm like, oh, it's like 1 a.m. and I have to write this down. I can't move from my bed, I'm so tired, but I have to. This is some good stuff. I'm like, this is a hit right here.
Do you keep a pen and a pad by your bed or in bed with you?
I do. Yeah. I have okay. about like five. It's so unnecessary. I mean, why do I need five pens? I have like five pens next to me, and I have like I'm not exaggerating. Like if we're on FaceTime or Skype, like I would show you. I have about like 8 to 10 journals right in between my dresser and my bed, just right there, waiting for an idea. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you kind of spoke to it a little bit earlier in one of your answers, but if you could go into a little more, can you tell me and my listeners who are your musical influences? And by that, I mean, who do you listen to a lot now? And is there also a musician that you would want to pattern yourself after?
Yeah. Well, the first person that inspired me was definitely Bruno Mars. One Direction. I mean, Bruno Mars. I'm just kidding. and Bruno Mars is just like, I mean, he's so talented. He's just, yeah. I mean, if I feel like I just, if I was in a room with him, like I physically probably couldn't be in that room. Like I'd probably freak out.
Really?
Yeah, like I'm so afraid of like meeting him. Like he's like my number one person I want to meet. He's truly inspired me like crazy. I mean, his songwriting ability, his stage presence is ridiculous. Yeah. And his band, the rest of his band too, like they're just all incredible. But another person that does inspire me is Julia Michaels, because she is an incredible songwriter and singer, of course. I mean, she has written so many songs for, you know, for Justin Bieber too, and for crazy artists before she even had a name for herself. And that's really inspiring for me, because also she was from Santa Clarita, which is incredible. I love that, because we're just such a small little community. And I'm just like, I'm so proud of her. I'm like, go girl, you're from my city. You kill it. But one more person is, if you've heard of Marian Hill,
yes.
The female singer. I really respect her, because I mean, also her voice is incredible, and her voice is very similar to mine. I think we have a very, very similar range and softness about her voices, so I love listening to her music. Like I will always be singing to her music.
Well, I have heard you sing before, and my listeners will hear you sing in a few minutes, or will hear one of your songs in a few minutes. But nothing for nothing, Miss Donahue, I just have to tell you, you belong in a room with Bruno Mars. Mm-hmm. So you need to 86 that nervousness and understand that if you ever are in a room with Bruno Mars, you belong there. So just make sure you keep that in mind.
Okay, thanks. I was gonna say, if that ever happens, make sure I'm wearing a diaper.
<I'm just kidding. laughs> Wow. Okay. We are very transparent here on The Level with J. Lewis
Mills. I know. Hey, you know what? That's what it's for, On The Level.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yeah. Ma'am. Are there any old-time singers you like Ella Fitzgerald, or, you know, anybody from back in the day where music meant something more than what it means today?
Oh, man. I really like, I really like Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, of course, because I like Bruno Mars. But, I mean, their stage presence, too, of course, is amazing. And I love how they use, I mean, pretty much everyone back then, they all use real instruments. And I love that. I hate having to hear a track behind the singer. And, you know, the more real, the better for me. But, of course, Frank Sinatra. I love him. He's so
Frank's the man. Frank's the man.
He's the man. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yes.
I mean, I would say those two for sure.
What do you think of Tony Bennett?
Tony Bennett?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of if I know who that is.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're going to have to Google that guy.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, you'll definitely have to.
If I look at his songs, you know, I'm like, this fun fact, I'm terrible with names. Yes. But everything else, hey, I'm good. I'm good.
He did a.
But I believe
he did
I
a,
know who that is.
Would you would probably know him because he did a song with Lady Gaga, a Christmas song. I don't remember the name of the song, but
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they killed it. They absolutely killed it.
Yeah,
and
I remember now.
I knew who Tony Bennett was before that, but just because he did that song with Gaga, but because it came out as good as it did. It gave me a newfound respect for Tony
Bennett,
because that cat's like somewhere in his 80s and he's rocking hard with Lady Gaga on the song. I don't remember the name of the song. I really don't. I think it's "I'll See You for Christmas" or something. I don't really remember the name of the song. But it was definitely one of the best renditions of that song.
Oh man, his style is like Frank, isn't it?
Yes.
Then I do know who you're talking about. Yeah, definitely a high level of respect for him, too.
So I mentioned just a minute ago that my listeners were going to listen to one of your songs. What can you tell us about this song before I play it?
So it is a cover song. It is "Shape of You" by Ed Sheeran, but this time it's by a producer in New York named Matthew J and me, and we just put our own little spin on it. So we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with this one, so I'm excited for everybody to hear it. And also I wish I could show you guys and play you guys "Let Me Go." That's a new song that's coming like very, very shortly, probably within a few weeks, and a music video too. So definitely stay updated with that, because it's going to be a good one. I wish I could show you now, but very soon.
Absolutely. You'll have to come back on the show. You can debut it on our show, on my show, if you would like to. So just let
me
know
true.
When it's ready, and you can come back. But right now, I want to get into your cover of Ed Sheeran's "Shape of You."
Perfect.
Dougie Doug, if you can go ahead and hit that play button, I'd appreciate it, Daddy-O.
Thank you, Doug.
We talk for hours and hours about the sweet and the sour and how your family is doing okay. singing like the wind.
Wow. I mean, I'm not a singer, I'm not a songwriter, I'm not a producer, but I think I can speak for my listeners when I say that's radio ready already.
Thank you so much.
That's hot. What made you decide to do that cover? Or when you do any cover, what makes you say, okay, you know, this is a song I want to cover?
Well, actually, Matthew J. reached out to me, and he asked me if I wanted to do a collaboration on a cover of an Ed Sheeran song, Shape of You, and it was, like, really popular during the time. I mean, it still is, but I was like, hey, we both gingers. No. <Yeah. laughs> I love Ed Sheeran so much. Of course I had to do it, so... So yeah, I mean, we just decided from there, and you know, he lives in New York, I live in LA, so we pretty much worked everything out online, so it wasn't really too, I mean, it was a little challenging at times, but it wasn't too bad. So I recorded everything at home, and I sent it into him and his crew, and they worked on it and everything. So it was a really fun project. I love collaborating with others.
How long did it take to put that project together?
Oh my gosh, too long. I totally understand though, because first of all, I was really busy and I was working on other music at the time too. So it took me a few weeks to record everything, which is funny because I recorded everything and the tempo was actually, like, he'd sent me one that was way too sped up. And I was, like, I was sitting here, and I'm like, the collab is the best place to find love is in the bar. I'm like, dude, this is fast. Like, you can't even tell who's singing it. I mean, it was really fast. But I didn't even say it to him. I was just like, okay, well, hopefully, you know, I'll send it to him. Hopefully he'll understand. Like, he'll listen to it, and he'll be like, oh, wow, that kind of sounds a little terrible. Like, so okay. Luckily he did. He had an ear for it. And he's like, hey, can you re-record it? And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to record this all in one day. So I did. I sat down. I recorded for so long. And it was brutal, but it was good. And I sent it in to him and his crew. And it took them, like, it probably took him about 5-6 months to get it, like, radio ready and actually release it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Took a while.
So we're live right now. If you have any questions for me or for Liza, you can call us at 1-888-429-5471. Again, that's 1-888-429-5471. I think the first thing that I heard you do was, and you excuse my language, but you blew it out the fucking water. You just did. It was ready? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, grenade. So
I remember.
Just because we're live and just because I do like to step outside of the box sometimes, if you would grace us with just a few a cappella bars of grenade, if you're ready. If you need to prepare, then I get that. You're a singer, I understand. But if you could give us a few bars of grenade, that would be awesome.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Easy come, easy go. That's just how you live. Oh, take it all, but you never give. Should've known you was trouble from the first kiss. Had your eyes wide open. Why were they open? Gave you all I had and you tossed it in the trash. Tossed it in the trash, you did. To give me all your love is all I ever ask. Cause what you don't understand is I'd catch a grenade for ya. Throw my hand on a blade for ya. I'd jump in front of a train for ya.
Damn.
You know I'd do anything for ya. Ooh. The ending though. Ooh. I was like, should I keep going? Should I stop?
No. That's good. And that was my first introduction to you when I saw that on Facebook. That was my first introduction. And I asked you to do that because I wanted my listeners to hear your pure voice. You're a singer. That's all there is to it. There's no, what is it called? It's not iTunes. What's auto-tune? There's none of that. You just have a pure melodic singing voice. And you know, that's just an absolute blessing from God. And speaking of not trying to get too religious, because I do cuss a lot on my show, but not trying to get too religious, but where are you with gospel music or with Christian music? Is that ever something you would jump into?
Oh, absolutely. I'm actually writing one right now. It's almost finished. And it's called With Me, and I can't explain how much I love this song. I mean, I was going through like crazy stuff a few weeks ago, and I was so done, and I was just sitting at the piano, and I had no energy, and I couldn't move, and I'm just like praying to God, and I was praying to God, and I was so done with everything, and I realized, why am I sitting here not making a worship song, not giving the glory to God? Like, why am I sitting here and pouting and, you know, just not doing anything about it? Like, I love music, I love God, so why don't I combine it? And you know, not to say too many details, but I believe I will be coming out with a small project, bigger project than I've been doing, but I really want to have this worship song on there because it's so strengthening. I mean, like for me specifically, at least, like I've felt so much better with this one. It's just so, it hits home so much and I'm just obsessed with it.
Okay. What does music, Liza, what does music mean to you? What does songwriting mean to you?
Well, it's just a way I express myself, and separately, you know, I have a passion, a really strong passion for music, and I, in general, I really love art, so music is my main way of expressing myself, and I do have other ways with art to express myself, like I love to draw, too, and I know not many people know that about me, but I just, I really feel like that's a great outlet for me. And that, it, I mean, I'm telling you, when I'm feeling terrible, and I start playing music, it's just crazy how it changes how I think and changes how I feel. Even just listening to music, like the minimum volume, like the volume in my car goes up to about 30, I think. And like the minimum I will always play my music is like 25. I mean, I love music and I'm always blasting it. And it really, I mean, it helps me feel so much better. It makes me feel at home, really.
What genre of music, and you kind of touched on this, but what genre of music would you say is Liza Donahue's wheelhouse?
Mine is definitely pop, EDM, and occasional like R&B or just songwriter, but like Ed Sheeran type of stuff too. I love just all those lyrics and just him and a guitar. I love, it's like me with just a piano, but yeah, I absolutely love pop and EDM.
Okay. Would you say that you as a singer, would you say that you have a particular style? Or are you just a singer that just tries to give respect to the music?
You know, I feel like when I start to know a bit more about producing, or maybe in the future if I get signed and I have a team helping me out, I feel like I will find my style more, because there's only so much I can do when I'm producing my own stuff. It takes a really long time, and it's such a process, and sometimes even the finished result isn't exactly what I wanted it to be in the beginning. So I think I know what I want in my head, but sometimes it's just hard to produce it the way that I want. But I'm learning step by step, you know. I'm taking it as quick as I can, but still trying to learn as much as I can, for sure.
Okay. And when you, I hate to keep going back, but I just want to give my listeners full answers to just get a better understanding of you. I heard what you said, and my listeners heard what you said about your Ed Sheeran cover. But when it comes to other songs, is there a chord that is struck within you for you to say, I want to cover this? Is it the melody of the song? Is it the lyrics of the song? What makes a song Liza Donahue cover worthy?
Liza Donahue cover worthy. I like that. Yeah, actually, it's a lot of times it's the lyrics, and sometimes it's even like the raspiness I hear in someone's voice when they're singing. I just like, how can I not cover something like that? It's just when it's not just raspiness, but when it's just like so passionate. I love passionate songs, and I love covering them and making them my own. Especially when I can relate to the lyrics. So typically the lyrics will definitely catch my eye, make it Liza Donahue cover worthy.
Okay. Now this might be I might be dating myself with this question. If I am, I guess I apologize to me, but, was there ever a music teacher in school that left a lasting impression on you, either positive or negative?
Yeah, I would say in middle school and band, back in those trumpet days.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Wakelin, he's a really, really good band teacher, instructor. He's awesome. He's super, super sweet. I really hope he would remember me. I think he's getting a little up there in years, but well, I saw him recently and he didn't say hi. Maybe I just looked different, but I was sad. But even if he doesn't, I don't care. But I definitely learned a lot from him. He let me warm up the band on piano because I was actually good at piano, and I was really excited about that. I was like, I felt like a teacher's pet for once in my life. So it's like, look, I can finally relate to something. Music. Like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna be a teacher's pet in biology.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
I get
exactly.
That. How much?
Yeah, no, he had a positive impact on me for sure.
That's
he was
good.
Very inspiring.
Was it such an impact that you would ever dedicate a song or an album to him?
Maybe not that strong of an impact. He definitely pushed me outside of my what I thought were my limits. And you know, he was just really like he knew so much too. But we weren't like major close. I was a little bit of a teacher's pet for a while, but I wasn't like, you know, I don't think I would write a song dedicated to him or anything. I mean, I have teachers in the past in general that were kind of like another father figure, which that might be something I would do. Probably not a whole album, but
sure.
I don't know, maybe a song, you know, maybe a song I would write about them or dedicated to them.
Okay. How much shower singing goes on in your universe?
Too much. Jayla, too much. I'm telling you, my neighbors want to move. You know what? That's probably why they keep moving. Now that I think about it. But yeah, no, too much. You know, I don't know why I don't have a speaker that like sticks onto the wall yet, but I'm going to invest into a really nice one of those. You know what?
What?
That's like, sorry, that's where I write so much of my music too. I don't know why, but it's just the craziest thing. It's like at night when I'm about to go to sleep and then when I'm in the shower. That's like those two places are like the core of my songwriting.
Okay. What is your opinion as being a singer in the music industry today? What is your opinion on the state of the music industry as we know it today?
Well, unfortunately, I think that in some cases, if you have good connections or a lot of money, it's easy to make it. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are people that are extremely talented and passionate as well. That should be making it in the industry, and that should be signed already. But it's definitely extremely competitive, just like, as you know, so is acting. And
yes,
even having your own radio show is extremely competitive. It's a hard thing to do.
Yes.
But I just think it's changing so quick. I mean, I know that back then it was definitely harder to get in if you don't have a good voice, you know, or if you just are trying to pay your way. I mean, they had real instruments. They had their real voice. They weren't making things up. They weren't auto-tuning their voice every day or on every song or album. So, I mean, that's what's cool is back then, like, you could actually see true talent. And I think there's so many talented, like, obviously more than not talented people in the industry that are signed and making it and touring and extremely talented people that should be there. And I'm happy you're there because they inspire me every single day, too. But it is definitely competitive. It's definitely a hard thing to do. But it also teaches me to be on top of my game, too. So I'd rather have it be difficult to make it than have it be easy, because it's so much more rewarding when you're actually, you know, you're way more proud of yourself when you actually end up making it, or, you know, not even just making it, but inspiring other people. That's what it is to me. Making it is just even having one listener or five listeners or things like that. Like,
yeah,
people that are changing, like their lives are changing through my music, and they're able to relate or get out of a bad relationship or get out of something that they're in, or, you know, go through something. That's making it to me. So, and
yes,
I've already had some incredible stories, which I like, that just inspires me so much to keep going. I love it.
If you had a genie in a bottle and the genie came out and said, Liza, I will change one thing in the music industry that you want changed, what do you think that would be?
Ooh, that's a hot question. Let's see. Oh, we must be on the level.
Yes, we are.
Let's see here. I would say one question, one thing to change. Man, I'm like thinking of so many.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
But I mean, I would say turning these people that run it, turning them away from dishonesty and I mean, you hear stories about the industry. Illegal stuff and things like that, turning them away from all that kind of stuff to actually open their ears and eyes to real talent and the fact that people are also people. They're not just things to play with or mess with or you know, be extremely rude to or hurt their feelings. Like, I would totally wish for them to just to be a lot less cruel. And you know, I'm not saying everyone is, but there's those few, and it really, like, it's like a chain reaction. It messes with a lot of people. So I would definitely change that about it.
Would you say, in your opinion, and you know, you can answer this question softly or you can go all in if you want to, but would you say, in your opinion, that the music industry is a sexist industry?
The big idea, I would probably say no.
Okay.
I think there are small aspects to it that are, in general, I don't think so. I think that they're pretty respectful, with their choices and actually like listening to, you know, not caring about the gender, but I think there are some things as far as, you know, like, how far should I go?
As far as you want.
Small things in general in the industry, I think, are a bit sexist in my opinion. But I don't know. I'm trying to think, because I know I was just talking to somebody. Actually, I was just talking to a vocal teacher about this the other day, talking about how maybe artists are treated by producers or by you know, female artists compared to male artists are treated by these people. So I think that there are some small things where they are slightly sexist or maybe even majorly sexist, but in general, probably it's probably fine.
Okay. What singers that are out right now, other than the obvious answer of Bruno Mars, but what singers that are out right now would you love to collaborate with on a good project?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I absolutely adore Selena Gomez.
Okay.
I think that she's just so, I mean, like, I don't personally know her, but, you know, I have, my producer's really good friends with her, too. And he tells me, too, that she's, like, so kind-hearted. She's so sweet and also extremely passionate about music. And I just think she would be an amazing person to collaborate with. But, like, I love her to pieces, even though I don't even know her.
Okay.
Another person is Bieber. Hey, and I'm not just saying that because I'm crushing maybe a little bit, but
okay.
No, but he's extremely talented too, and I just think that, I mean, what, I mean, who gets to say they get to collaborate with Justin? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that would be an insane experience. I would take that over a lot of other things.
Me as a music lover, I wouldn't mind hearing you do a duet with Justin Timberlake. I think that would be pretty hot.
Oh, he's amazing too. Could you imagine? Yeah, I love him.
So that would be someone I would think you would do a good little bit of a collab with, so to speak.
I agree. I mean, he crossed my mind when you asked me. He's extremely talented too. He's so full of energy too. I love it. And you know, I just can't run out of energy either, so that might be an interesting combination. But I love him. He's definitely in my genre too, for sure.
Yeah. How often do you get a chance now, Liza, to play out? Like, how often are you playing out live anywhere around town?
Well, I was playing every week or every 2 weeks at a little place in Canoga Park, and that was really, really fun for a while. But now I'm in a season where I am writing as much music as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. Because I really want more and more originals, like more of my stuff out. So yeah, I mean, I was in that season where I was performing a ton and I love that. But yeah, this is definitely, I mean, I haven't really had a whole lot of time to write until recently, so I'm definitely taking advantage of that. But when I do perform, everyone's always so sweet and they're just so supportive. I love it because they're, you know, we're all connected with music. We all love the same thing. And mm-hmm. it's just so easy to bond with these people and, mm-hmm. and also to watch them perform too and watch what they do, watch how they sing and listen to their originals too. But yeah, it's a place called Guitar Merchant. So if you guys love new artists, with which if you're listening, you probably do, then
yes,
Guitar Merchant would be a cool place to go to. They're super sweet. And like I said, but yeah, they're awesome.
Okay. Now I did mention we're running close to the end, but there has never been a On the Level with J. Lewis Mills that only lasted an hour. So I absolutely anticipate going overtime.
what? We just love you. Everyone loves you.
And I am so grateful for, well, not everybody. And again, you'll learn that next week. But
yes.
You said that you, or I said, I told my listeners that you are a producer. So I'm just going to act like I don't know. And I'm sure mm-hmm. some of my listeners legitimately don't know. What is that? What does a music producer do?
Okay. So I am fairly new to producing my own stuff. And like, it's even hard for me to call myself a producer because I'm not as knowledgeable as others, but I guess I technically am.
Sure.
And, but, it's pretty much, it's a whole process. So, you know, the artists, a lot of times they're separate from being the producer. So there's the artist, there's the producer, there's someone who mixes it, there's someone who masters it. But a lot of times, I mean, sometimes, the artist can be the producer also, or rare times they mix and master their own stuff. It's a lot of work. But what you do is when the artist or whoever it is, for my instance, actually, so I'll write the song and I'll write the music behind it on, you know, the chords. I'll have it in my head or written down. And I will go to my computer. I use a system called Logic Pro X.
Okay.
And that's, if you guys like are interested, like if you guys are ever interested in producing your own stuff, like that's a great way to start. I think the system's like probably $250, but I mean, it has everything you will ever need. It, you just need that, a MIDI box and a keyboard and you're all set. You can
okay.
make whatever you want, but you pretty much just make the beats. So you you lay down different tracks like guitar, drums, synths, violin if you want. I mean, there's unlimited options. And you just kind of, you make the background music to your song. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of learning, but it's definitely worth it. And it teaches you a lot. But then, yeah, the next step would be mixing it, which is getting all the levels right and making sure everything's pretty good and even. And then mastering it would be making it pretty much as close to perfect as possible, making it radio ready. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a process for sure.
Okay. And my last question for you, have you ever had anybody deter you from singing? Have you ever had somebody tell you that you shouldn't sing or you wouldn't make it as a singer?
I feel like I'm just like so nice to people. I don't think anyone has ever said anything like that to me, at least to my face.
Okay.
I don't think that, I really can't think of a time. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, honestly, I can't think of a time. Everybody in my life has been so supportive. My family and my close friends, I only keep a few best friends, and
yeah.
The ones I trust and the ones that I know will support me and that I will, you know, the ones that I support, of course, and put time into. But yeah, I feel like if I even would, I just wouldn't even, I wouldn't be good friends with them. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened, thankfully.
Well, I'm the absolute same way. I've said on my show and on social media more than once that my circle of friends is so small, you can't even make a full circle. And, you know, I oh, do that. I do that for a reason.
I love it.
That for a reason, because not everybody needs to be your friend. Not everybody needs to be in your universe. Not everybody needs to be influence. So my circle of friends, I mean, I could name all of my close friends on one hand and still have a few phalanges left over.
Yes. I like the terms, the specific phalanges. But no, same here. I only want to put time into the ones that I really believe in, that, you know, I really trust in, and that trust in me too. So we can pick and choose our own friends if we want.
Absolutely.
I learned that.
Well, Miss Donahue, we have come to the end. This hour has gone by pretty quickly. It always
has.
Doesn't even seem like I've been talking to you this long, but at the end of my show, I like to ask my guests what they would like to leave my listeners with. So what advice would you have for anyone like yourself that is an up-and-coming singer? And I think your words would be rather valid because you're still in that same space of up-and-coming. So what you have to say, you know, you have had your success, which is wonderful, and your voice is absolutely phenomenal. I'm not just saying that because you're my friend. I'm saying that because it's the truth. So what lasting words or last words would you have for my listeners as well as any upcoming singers, up-and-coming singers?
Well, if you guys are listening, you know, like he said, I am up and coming. I'm not this great artist that's touring the world, but you don't need to be. If you're passionate about music, then make music and don't be afraid to perform in front of other people either, because they may need it more than you think. And it's just, I know singing is the most vulnerable thing you can do, really. But that's what makes you guys so special. So just keep doing what you love, and other people will highly respect you for that. So keep fighting, girl. Keep fighting, man. Like, we're all in this together. So
I like that. We're all in this together. Well, thank you very kindly once again, Liza, for coming on. And remember, whenever you are ready to debut some new original music, just give me a call, text, Facebook, Instagram, anything. Let me know, and I will absolutely make time to have you on again to debut your new music. I would love to do that.
You're amazing. Thank you so much, Jalous.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening, and my last words to my listeners will be, you know, I interview up-and-coming people. I interview people that haven't made it yet. You know, I try to do that because in my own way, I enjoy inspiring people, and I believe, you know, artists like Liza Donahue are an absolute inspiration to show you, you know, if you have a voice, people need to hear it. If you have a love for music, you need to get in there and make the sacrifices and do the work. There is a such thing as the overnight success, but that's very few and far between. So I feel like if you are somebody that has a calling, it doesn't have to be music. It doesn't have to be entertainment. If you have any type of a calling whatsoever, you just need to do it. 110%. Sacrifice what you have to sacrifice, because the rewards on the other side of that mountain, the rewards on the other side of that obstacle are going to be so great that once you receive such rewards, you will absolutely say it was 100% well worth it. So I invite all of my listeners to whatever it is you want to do, set your mind to it and never give up. Don't ever give up. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. And don't get so frustrated with the process that you say you no longer want to do it, because you will definitely, absolutely, 100% be selling yourself short. That's all I have for this week. Next week, as I said,
yes,
it's going to be a little bit of a dark show, but I can say hell hath no fury like J. Lewis Mills being scorned. And you will absolutely learn that next week.
Hell absolutely
hath no fury like J. Lewis Mills being scorned. If you feel as though you are a person that is good enough or Billy Badass enough to disrespect me, I guarantee you I can show you a lot better than I can tell you how wrong you are.
Preach.
And, that's what my show next week is going to be about. And then the week after that, I'm kind of excited for my show coming up the week after that. It's going to be with a talent agent in the Hollywood area. Her name is Gail Williamson. And we are going to be talking about diversity in film and television. So we're going to have the dark show next week, but then we're going to lighten it up with talking to Miss Williamson. But yeah, next week, the topic of my show next week is Hell Hath No Fury, like J. Lewis Mills being scorned. I thank you all for joining me this week. I hope you join me next week. I also wanted to say, I just wanted to give this thanks. You know, I look at the numbers from every show that I do, or I ask the station to give me the numbers from every show that I do. And last month, I had a lot of listeners. I had a lot of visits to my show page. So I just want to sincerely thank anyone that is listening to my show now. I want to thank anyone that has listened to my show in the past. I guess if you're not listening now, you can't hear this, so that just doesn't make any sense. But I would like to thank all of my listeners of On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be here. And I just ask that and hope, and I'm excited, because I do feel like you are going to continue taking this ride with me, and you are all going to continue being a part of my journey. So blessings and thank you to you all. Until next week, I hope you treat yourselves and each other very well. Each one teach one. We do need to learn how to live with each other better. And I hope that I can do something to help change the perspective of the way we deal with each other and the way we are with each other. You can't do it by yourself. You will always need your brother man. You will always need your sister girl. So I just ask you all to treat each other with kindness and respect, and join me next week. I look forward to it. At this time, I have to say, we are out. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.